Well, praise the Lord. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to preach that song today. That song's right out of this text. Well, the reason I want him to do it today. 2 Corinthians 1, we began reading verses 20 through 24. Well, thank you, Joshua, sharing your heart. Some of you sit there and say, well, you know, I had been where he's been and had that problem. No, you got other problems. You just never have understood what depravity really is. Dear friend, we're none worthy. I mean, we're all undone. Unrighteous, everyone. But there's the God of angel armies. Isn't that a great phrase? Yeah, he's always by my side. Amen. 2 Corinthians, we're making our way through these first seven chapters in the next few Sunday mornings together. And today we come to verses 20 through 24. If you'll just look back up in verse 18 to begin with, you'll see our God is faithful. We're going to come back to that in a moment. That's just right in that song. Then verse 20, for as many as are the promises of God, right out of that song. For as many as are the promises of God, in him they are, say that word with me, yes. Therefore also through him is our, say that word with me, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. But I call God his witness to my soul, that to spare you I did not come again to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith. We are but our workers with you for our joy. For in your faith you are standing firm. Now look in verse 20. I wanted to show you this. The title of the message this morning is yes and amen. God says yes. We say amen. Look at it in verse 20. For as many as are the promises of God. We're going to look at four great promises of our Lord in just a moment. As many as the promises of God, and of course there are many more than four, but there are four in this text. In him they are yes. God says, I've promised you one, two, three, four, and they are yes, 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 yes. Amen. God said, I don't stutter. My promises are sure. They're forever. Therefore, also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. When God makes a promise, he says yes. And when you finally say amen to the promise, you've learned to stand on that promise. God is faithful. That's what he says back in verse 18. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not, well, yes and no. That's not it. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no. But our preaching was yes, 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 yes. Are you going to help me or are you just going to sit there and look at me? It is yes, 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 yes. I'm telling you, the promises of God don't vacillate. They're not yesterday and no tomorrow and God will take care of you up till noon, but in the afternoon you buy you. No, no, no. The promises of God are yes, yes, yes. Now you and I, we will vacillate. I'm not always faithful. You're not always faithful. I have strongholds in my life. If you get honest before God, you got strongholds in your life. We all wrestle with various things. You heard this young man talk about the stronghold came. And many of us have to understand out of our past, those things grow up, lost his daddy, turned to food, and then came an obesity and then surgery and then drugs. And there were just stronghold after stronghold. But all the while, God's promises were the same. Whenever he got ready to say amen, I'm telling you, God's promise was yes. Yes. You've got strongholds. I don't know what they are. I've got strongholds. And I don't want you to know what they are. That's the way we are about our strongholds. Some of them jump out and people know. And many of them are debilitating. And some of them cause us to ruin relationships. And others are thus shows we suffer with in our own man. And then they pop out. I mean, I've struggled with stronghold anger all my life. God has to bring a coolness to our spirit. This men's conference, we'll talk about it. You have to make a covenant with your eyes. And I'm just telling you, we have a stronghold. It'll be there. It's our depravity. It's our flesh. Things that we see and say and do, and they come in our life. But when we say amen to God's promises, I'm telling you, God's ready to break those strongholds. He's ready to give us victory. Doesn't mean we bat 1,000. I'm just telling you, you don't. You bat 1,000, your name's Jesus. But if your name's not Jesus, then you need an advocate. And he promises to be that. So what has God promised us? And how do we respond? Well, let's look in this text today for just a few moments. And first of all, I want you to see the promises and the work of God. And right out beside that, you just write this word, yes, with an exclamation point. The promises and the works of God, yes. Amen. His promises are yes. I want to show you four promises God has made to the believer. Number one. He establishes us. Notice it in verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ. He establishes us. That word means that he has made us steadfast. It is the word fixed or firm. It does not waver. Now here's the yes of God. There is the assurance of salvation. I want to ask you this question. Do you know for sure that you're saved right now? Do you know that you're a saved man or woman? Do you know if you was to die right now, you'd go to heaven? Are you sure? Are you established? Are you fixed? Are you firm? Do you know that you're going to heaven when you are you so? Some of you say, well, you know, preacher, some days I think so, and some days I'm. Let me tell you. Your salvation and establishment has absolutely zero, nothing to do with who you are. It's the promise of God. Jesus died for you. When you come to him and by faith receive him and you become his child, you are established. And heaven is fixed. It is sure. Now keep your finger at 2 Corinthians. Go over to 1 John chapter 5. You'll find these verses up on the screen, I believe. In 1 John 5, verses 11, 12, and 13. Now look at it right here. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the eternal life. And he who does not have the Son does not have the life. So if you have the Son, you have eternal life. If you don't have the Son, you don't. Look in verse 13. These things I have written to you who what? Say that word. Believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know, not hope, think, sort of, maybe, kind of, if I've done good today. Your salvation and eternity and his establishment is not based on your actions. It is based on the established fact that Jesus died for you. You came to him by faith. He's made you his child, and you can never be anything but his child. You are established. Established. So, preacher, that sounds like you just come and pray, and then you go do whatever you want to. That's exactly right. God changes you want to. He makes you different. He reigns conviction within your heart. And he makes you like him. Friend, you are established. Established. Yes, to establish. Second word in verse 21. He says also, back here in chapter 1, verse 21, now he who establishes us with you is Christ and anointed us is God. Not only does he establish you, he's anointed you. That means that the Holy Spirit lives within you. When you come to be a Christ follower, then the Holy Spirit of God comes within you. Now, the Bible does say to be filled, and you have to come to the place of understanding emptiness and of your own self and repentance. But there is never a time when you're a Christian that the Spirit of God does not reside in you, because he that does not have the Spirit is none of the Lord Jesus. You're not his child if you don't have the Spirit. Now, look at this promise over in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 20. The Word of God tells us, but you have an anointing. That Greek word is chrisma. We get the King James word unction from it. You have a chrisma. You have an anointing. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you all know. Now watch this. God says, yes, I establish you. I've saved you and made you secure. Number two, he says, yes, I have anointed you. I have put my Spirit within you. So I want to ask you, if somebody walks up to you and just say, is the Spirit of God in you? Your answer is yes. They say, you don't deserve it. And you say, I don't have the Spirit because I deserve it. I have it because God by his grace gave it to me. And that is his promise. And God never lies. Yes. 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 He establishes. He anoints. Third word, third promise. Is in verse 22. He seals us. He has sealed us. Notice in verse 22. Who also sealed us. He sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts. Now the word seal indicates ownership. This is the security of the believer. I am the Lord's, and I am his forever and ever and ever. Amen. I have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. You know, when you get a document and they put a governmental seal on it, that means that it's legit and that you're the owner, and that seal is there. It's the seal. This is God's seal that he puts on us. He said, you are mine. Where is that seal? Well, look at verse 22. He gave, and he also sealed us and gave us the Spirit. Where's the seal? Is in your heart. It's the seal of the Spirit man within your heart. Look at the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 and what the Word of God says. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of, what's that word? There it is, promise. He's given us the Holy Spirit of promise. Then over in chapter 4 and verse number 30, he gives us a command. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. God has sealed us. You are his. Now it happens frequently now with our little grandbaby. I'll put a picture out on Facebook and people say, oh, she looks just like the pastor. And they'll say, well, she looks just like her mama. And they say, well, she looks just like her daddy. And they say, this looks like the High Notes. And they say, no, it looks like the Trailer Family. And you get all of these half-blind people. But they see the family in the sibling. Why is that? It's because it's yours. Your life, your blood, your DNA is in that child, and your image. It's a seal. It's been stamped. Friend, we are not only sealed, we're supposed to look like the Lord Jesus. When he seals us and we are his, then that is in us is what is Christ. It's his love and his grace and his long suffering. All of the kindness of the Lord Jesus that is to come through. All of the established, the power of the Lord God, the conviction of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to speak tonight in the faith service about the difference in humility and arrogance. Now, if somebody comes out as a gay person, as we've seen of late, and they come forth, and the world begins to applaud, and you get an email from the White House and a tweet from the Vice President, and courage is that. But if you come out and say that homosexuality is a sin, then you are not seen as a truth teller. You're seen as arrogant. You see, telling the truth, you can speak the truth in arrogance, but just telling the truth does not equate with arrogance. That's what the world says. If telling the truth is arrogance, the most arrogant person ever to walk the face of the planet was Jesus the Nazarene. Now just, if I wrote a letter to the editor tomorrow and they printed in the Pensacola News Journal and I said, there is no other way to get to heaven but that you must come through Ted Traylor and my church, and you must be baptized at my hand, and you must be a member at Olive Baptist Church, and I must be your pastor, and you must pray in my name or you're going to hell. You can't go to heaven. Well, people say he's crazy, he's arrogant. For I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man goes to the Father but that he comes through me. Signed, Jesus the Nazarene. See, you're not mean just because you speak truth. Now, you can be mean and tell the truth. We're supposed to speak the truth and to do it in love. That's why the stamp of the Lord Jesus must be within us and come through us so that arrogance is eradicated and there's a human. But let me tell you, humility does not equal uncertainty. That's what the world wants you to believe. If you're humble, then you're just not certain. It can go either way. Well, you know, I'm not going to have any firm action. Let me tell you, you walk through this world without a firm conviction, you'll be a liberal. When you come to the Bible, you won't believe anything. Firm conviction is not arrogance. You stand for truth. And you must do that with the seal of the Spirit of God within you so that the Spirit of Christ comes through us. That's His promise. It's not popular. People rail against you. It always amazes me that if I speak for absolute truth, people will condemn you and say, well, you're just mean-spirited. Well, that sounds kind of mean when they condemn you, doesn't it? Isn't that the old goose and the gander deal? Pot and the kettle? The issue is really not humility and arrogance. The issue is truth with the seal of the Lord Jesus within us. Establish, anointed, seal. And then the last one is the word pledge. It's found right there in verse number 22. But He also sealed us and He gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. That's the earnest. That's the down payment. That's God saying, I'm coming back. Do you remember Israel is over in Egypt and they're there, but they own some land. And where's that land? Canaan, Israel. And we call it, out of the prophets, the promised land. The promised land. They're going back to what's been promised. And when God makes a promise, you mark this down, it will happen. He is a faithful man. God is faithful in verse 18. And our word to you is not yes and no. It is yes, 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 yes. And that pledge, the Spirit of God, that is the Spirit of promise that has been put in us. Do you know when Jesus comes back, He's really not coming after you. He's coming for Himself. It's because the Spirit of God lives in you. That's what He's coming for. He's coming to receive us, but His Spirit is in us, and that is Christ is caught up in our spirit unto the Father. And then the day's coming when he's going to remake our body. Well, yes, 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 yes. The promises of God. But now there's a quick second word I have to give you. And not only do we see in this text the promises and the work of God being yes, and we all like that. But now watch the affirmation and the faith of man. Out beside that word, you write the word amen. Notice it right here in verse 20. For as many as are the promises of God in him, they are yes. That's God's part. Then, therefore, also through him is our amen. Our amen. Not God's amen, but our amen to the glory of God through us. Now, here we go. This is when this text gets hard. See, there are two kind of people that are in this room today. There are people who are chaff with no roots. They're blown by the wind. They're unstable. They have what I call a convenient Christianity. Their Bible principles are at mercy of their own personal passions. They believe Bible truth till it runs against their grain, and then they conveniently turn away. The other kind of person in this room today is a tree rooted deep and rising high. They're like that tree planted by the rivers of water, and they've said, amen. So many in our churches today are living below not the poverty line, they're living below the promise line. When you find the promise of God, claim it. Jump on it. Live as if it is so when it's not so, in order that it can be so. That's your faith practical principle. So God says, I'm forgiven. Well, then you are. Quit dragging that sin around. Oh, Lord. You know, I'm going to heaven, but Lord, I got a big deal on me right here. Cut loose that deal. God said he's forgotten it. You forget it. God said it's cast as far as the depth of the sea. Let it go. It will sink to the bottom. Quit fishing. Let it go. And say amen. God said you're forgiven. Then say amen. The Lord says if you believe and you confess, you'll be saved. Say amen. Some of you sit in here this day and you say, well, preacher, I couldn't get saved because I'm not worthy. Well, glory to God, you got one point, right? You're not worthy. But God says if you will believe and if you'll confess, you'll be saved by the grace of God. You ought to just simply say, amen. Your sin's forgiven. I don't know what kind of stronghold you've had in your past, but friend, when you ask God to forgive you your sin, they're gone. So say amen. I'm secure forever. That means I don't ever lose my salvation. Say amen. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God that he's in me and he's living through me. He's working on me. He's always knocking everything out of me that's not Jesus. I understand that. He's fashioning us and forming us. But just because he's shaping us does not mean that we've lost our salvation. He said he's a man of promise. Therefore, live up to the promise line. When you find God makes a promise, say, It'd help you if you'd learn to say that word in church a little more often. I mean, when somebody's baptized, say amen. Somebody preaches a good word, say amen. Somebody sings a good song, say amen. You know, the word amen in the Hebrew tongue means so be it. I confirm it. That's what you're saying here. When God makes a promise and you say amen, you're just simply saying, I confirm it. I stand with it. I'm on it. I believe it. Right there. So God says, I make you a promise. If you'll come to me, I'll save you. You'll be my child forever. And you say amen. Now watch this. So he makes us his child. We're his. He won't ever run us off. He won't ever cut us loose. There is a line that after you're his child, if you get across it, he'll kill you. He'll kill the body to save the soul. There's a judgment of God. You just go so far, and because he's made the promise, you're his forever. Now, there's a whole lot of folks that have come into the church, and they got some kind of religion, but they never got saved. I I was in the oddest meeting I ever been in last Monday. Charles Cannon is with me. Now, the odd meeting was not when I was preaching, though some people probably would have thought that was odd. The odd meeting was the dinner beforehand. And I met a preacher I'd never met before. And here's what he told me. My Lord, my Lord. I said, when did you become a pastor? He said, which time? I immediately got confused. He said, I grew up in a United Methodist Church. He said, I was called to ministry. And I went to school and became a United Methodist minister. And he said, for 18 years, I pastored Methodist churches. But he said, the material started coming to me. And he said, something changed. He said, all of a sudden, the denomination that used to be pro-life was now pro-abortion. He said, the denomination that used to stand on the inerrancy of Scripture no longer stood on the inerrancy of Scripture. This is not my testimony, this is his. He said, I just found that I was apart from those people. And so he said, I resigned and took a leave of absence. He said, I just studied the Bible and I just began to search the promises of God. And he said, I spent some hours with some leaders and he said, I found that Southern Baptists were closer to who I felt convicted to be than anything. He said, so I joined a Southern Baptist church. He said, within 10 days, this is a long period, when he said, when I came to the conviction, he said, within 10 days, I was baptized by immersion, licensed to preach, and ordained. He said, I'm not sure it's ever happened in the church before. He said, I was baptized by immersion. They then gave me a license. They laid their hands on me and ordained me, and I began to preach in Southern Baptist churches. He said, then I got a little church, and I pastored. Then he pastored a church outside of Montgomery for a while, and then he got called to the church where he is right now, and it was unusual because 20 years ago, in that same town where he now pastors Westside Baptist Church, he pastored First United Methodist Church. In the same town. I said, you got to help me. I said, if we go down the street tonight, will we get shot? I said, I'm not scared to die for my faith, but I don't want to die for your faith, all right? He said, oh, Pastor, we do. We have great fellowship. He said, we just have some real differences of conviction. He said, God just had to work on me and make me what I found in Scripture. He said, I stopped looking at what man said and tried to start looking at what the Word of God said. And when I found what the Word of God said, I had to bring my life under it and up to everything God said. And when I did, I found I had to make some drastic changes in my life. Now, I want you to hear me, dear Southern Baptist, beloved brother or sister or little person or big person. You need to be searching the promises of God, and everything that's not in you that matches up to the promise line, you need to bring your life in line with the promises of Almighty God. Live up to the promise line. Lord, our problem is we get so full of the flesh. We get so full of ourselves, and our old strongholds begin to beat us down, and we begin to think we're not worthy, and so we just shrink back, and we drop out of the choir, and we drop out of a small group, and we just kind of just go over, and then before you know it, we're moving back, and we're going to drop out of church. Why? What's changed? You've changed. Promises of God's not changed. And let me tell you, if you repent and come home, God will say, I love you. I'm just wanting to make you what my promises say about you. So a preacher, if the church knew everything in me, they would let me come. Lord, have mercy. If you just knew everything about me, if you knew what went through my mind, in my heart, and things I wrestle with, you'd never come back. But you will, because you wrestle too. We all wrestle. They're different strongholds. They beat us down, beat us up. You need to get back to the promises of God to know that you've been established by the Holy Spirit of God. You've been forgiven. You've been sealed. You've been anointed. And God says yes. And what you need to do is find truth and then say that word. Amen. Quit being chaff. And be what Psalm 16:8 says. Look at this verse. In Psalm 16, verse number 8, the Bible said, I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand and I will not be shaken. Won't do it. Why? I've set him before me. I'm not looking at what Olive says or Southern Baptist say. I'm looking at what God says. And when I find what God says and I put him continually before me and he's at my right hand, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be shaken. I'm going to go forward under the promises of Almighty God. God says, yes, I've promised. And he's just looking for somebody this morning to say, amen. Amen. We live so far below. We just live below what God's promised us. It's as if he's put a big check in the bank and we won't write on it. He said, this is the promise. Come. So I'm scared. But don't be scared. Be like a tree firmly planted, going deep into the ground and up to the sky. And let the power of God work in you. Now here's what we're going to do. In just a minute, John's going to play a song. And when he plays that song, I'm going to have you do something for me. I'm going to have you find somebody in this room while he sings that first stanza. I want you to find somebody, and I want you to tell them one of the promises of God. One of these four we've talked about this morning, or another promise you know in the Bible. You may say, I don't even know a promise in the Bible. Then I want you to say to somebody, I really need to find a promise in the Bible. If you don't know any, God help you. But you've come to the right place because we're going to teach. We already know four. I gave you four this morning. And I want you to tell somebody a promise of God. Then I want you to say this word to them. Amen. Now that word means, so be it, I affirm it, and I'm going to live by it. So in his first stanza, don't come running down here to me. Find somebody and tell them a promise. When John starts the second stanza, somebody's here lost and you need to come say amen, preach, I want to be saved. Somebody's here without a church and you need to come be a part of this family. Some of you need to come and openly respond to the promises of God today and simply say with your life, amen, 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 and begin to live up to the promise line. So the first stanza is for us to share the promises. The second stanza and the third is for you to come forward and to stand publicly on the promises of God. Did you hear that testimony that boy gave? What did he have to do? He had to stand in that jail. He had to literally stand on the promises of God, that God would forgive him, that he'd not given up on him, that he would receive him, that he would make him useful. Lord, and here he is singing in big church and getting ready to go off to Bible college. Now when he gets out there, he's going to have a whole nother set of stuff he's got to deal with. But the same God that got him through the county jail will get him through the city church. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's easier in the county jail than it is the city church. Can I get a witness? Yeah, amen. God's promise is sure. So if you know a promise, I want you to share it with somebody. John, I want you to sing this stanza for us. Let's all rise. And I want you to share a promise. And then we get to stanza two. I'll say, come on, come on, come on, unto the Lord. Sharing your promises right now.
Oh, soul, are